Hello and welcome to your GCSE History Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most dramatic and consequential periods in all of English history, Anglo-Saxon and Norman England, from around 1060 to 1088. This is the story of a kingdom on the edge, a throne up for grabs, and one of the most famous battles ever fought. And yes, it all comes down to who had the best claim to be King of England. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the world Harold Godwinson inherited. By 1060, Anglo-Saxon England was actually a pretty well-organised kingdom. The king sat at the top, he controlled land, made laws, led the army, and appointed powerful nobles called earls to govern regions on his behalf. Below the king were the earls. Think of them as regional governors. The most powerful earldom was Wessex, which covered the south of England. Below the earls were thanes, local lords who owned land and served in the military. Then came the churls, free peasants who farmed the land and paid taxes. And at the very bottom were thralls, enslaved people with no rights at all. Now, the king didn't rule alone. He had the Witan, a council of the most powerful earls, bishops, and thanes in the land. The Witan could advise the king, approve new laws, and crucially, it had the power to choose the next king. This is going to matter enormously in 1066. The church was also hugely important. The Archbishop of Canterbury was one of the most powerful figures in the country, and the church owned vast amounts of land. Religion shaped every aspect of daily life. Now, the key family you absolutely must know is the House of Godwin. Earl Godwin of Wessex was one of the most powerful men in England, arguably more powerful than the king himself at times. His son, Harold Godwinson, became Earl of Wessex after Godwin's death in 1053. And Harold was, by 1066, the most powerful earl in England. He had military experience, the support of the Witan, and the backing of the English people. When King Edward the Confessor died on the 5th of January 1066, Harold was chosen by the Witan and crowned king the very next day. That speed tells you everything. The English establishment wanted Harold on the throne immediately. But here's where it gets complicated, because Harold wasn't the only one who wanted to be king. Let's talk about the three claimants. This is absolutely essential exam knowledge. First, Harold Godwinson. His claim was based on the deathbed wish of Edward the Confessor and the support of the Witan. He was English, experienced, and already in England. His weakness? He had no royal blood. Second, William, Duke of Normandy. William claimed that Edward the Confessor had promised him the throne back in 1051, when William visited England. He also claimed that Harold had sworn an oath on holy relics in 1064 to support his claim, an oath Harold later denied making under duress. William had the blessing of Pope Alexander II, which gave him enormous moral authority. His weakness? He was foreign, and his claim rested on disputed promises. Third, Harald Hardrada, King of Norway. Hardrada based his claim on an old agreement between earlier kings, specifically a deal between King Canute's successors and the Norwegian royal family. He was a fearsome Viking warrior. His weakness? His claim was the most tenuous of the three, and he relied heavily on the support of Tosti Godwinson, Harold's own exiled brother, who had a personal grudge against Harold.
Now, let's talk about the events of 1066, and there are a lot of them, so pay close attention to the sequence. In September 1066, Harald Hardrada and Tostig invaded the north of England. On the 20th of September, the English earls Edwin and Morcar were defeated at the Battle of Gate Fulford, near York. This was a significant Norwegian victory. It left the north of England vulnerable. Harold, who was in the south waiting for William's invasion, had to march his army north at incredible speed. On the 25th of September 1066, Harold launched a surprise attack at the Battle of Stamford Bridge, near York. The result was a crushing English victory. Harald Hardrada and Tostig were both killed. The Norwegian threat was over. But here's the cruel twist of fate. Just 3 days later, on the 28th of September, William of Normandy landed at Pevensey Bay in the south of England.
Harold had to turn his exhausted army around and march south again. This is one of the most debated decisions in history. Should Harold have waited and rested his troops? Or was he right to march south quickly to prevent William from ravaging the countryside? On the 14th of October 1066, the two armies met at the Battle of Hastings, or more accurately at Senlac Hill, about 7 miles from Hastings. And this is where the exam really focuses. You need to know not just what happened, but why William won. Harold took the high ground on Senlac Hill and formed a defensive shield wall, a tight formation of housecarls and feared soldiers, shields locked together. It was a strong defensive position. William's army was divided into three sections: Breton cavalry on the left, Norman infantry and archers in the centre, and Franco-Flemish troops on the right. The battle lasted all day, which itself tells you how strong Harold's position was. The Norman archers opened the battle, but the shield wall held. Norman cavalry charges were repeatedly repelled. At one point, the Breton left flank appeared to flee, and some of Harold's men broke ranks to pursue them, only to be cut down when the Normans turned and counterattacked. Historians debate whether this was a deliberate feigned retreat or a genuine accident that William exploited brilliantly. As the afternoon wore on, the shield wall weakened. Harold was killed. The Bayeux tapestry famously shows a figure with an arrow near his eye, though historians debate the exact manner of his death. With Harold dead, English resistance collapsed. Why did William win? Examiners want you to analyse this, not just describe it. Key reasons include William's superior combined arms tactics, using archers, infantry and archers together in a coordinated way that the English couldn't match. Harold's exhausted troops after the rapid march from Stamford Bridge, the feigned retreat tactic that broke the shield wall, William's careful preparation and papal support that boosted Norman morale, and arguably Harold's decision to fight before his army had fully recovered.
Right, let's shift into exam technique mode, because this is where marks are won and lost. The most common mistake candidates make is writing narrative, telling the story, instead of explaining causation. If a question says, "Explain why William won the Battle of Hastings," the examiner does not want a blow-by-blow account of the battle. They want you to identify specific reasons, explain how each reason contributed to the outcome, and link your reasons together. Use the Peel structure. Point, state your reason clearly. Evidence, give specific detail, names, dates, facts. Explanation, explain how this reason caused or contributed to the outcome. Link, connect back to the question or to your next point. For source questions, remember the four-step framework. Content, what does the source actually say or show? Provenance, who created it, when and why? Usefulness, how does the content and provenance make it useful for the specific inquiry? Limitations, what does it not tell us, or how might its purpose limit its reliability? The Bayeux tapestry is a source you may well encounter. It was commissioned by Bishop Odo of Bayeux, William's half-brother, probably in the 1070s. Its provenance means it presents a Norman perspective. It is useful for understanding Norman justifications for the conquest, but candidates must acknowledge its bias. For how far do you agree questions, you must present a balanced argument. Don't just argue one side. Show you can weigh up evidence, consider counter-arguments, and reach a clear, justified judgment. Now for your quick-fire recall quiz. Cover your notes and see how you do. Question 1. In what year did Edward the Confessor die? January 1066. Correct. Question 2. Name the three main claimants to the English throne in 1066. Harold Godwinson, William of Normandy, and Harold Hardrada. Question 3. What was the date of the Battle of Stamford Bridge, and who was killed there? 25th of September 1066, Harold Hardrada and Tostig Godwinson were killed. Question 4. What tactical manoeuvre helped William break Harold's shield wall?
the feigned retreat, Norman cavalry appeared to flee, drawing English troops out of formation. Question 5. What does Peel stand for? Point, evidence, explanation, link. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You're in great shape. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with your key takeaways. Anglo-Saxon England in 1060 was a well-organised kingdom with a clear social hierarchy. King, earls, thanes, churls, thralls, and the Witan as the king's council. The House of Godwin dominated English politics, and Harold Godwinson was the most powerful earl in England. When Edward the Confessor died in January 1066, 3 men claimed the throne: Harold, William, and Hardrada. Harold defeated Hardrada at Stamford Bridge on the 25th of September, but was then forced to march south to face William. At Hastings on the 14th of October 1066, William's superior tactics, combined arms approach, and Harold's exhausted army led to a Norman victory. Harold was killed, and the Norman conquest began. For your exam, always explain rather than describe. Use specific dates, names, and details. For source questions, always analyse provenance. And for evaluation questions, always reach a clear, justified judgment. You've got this. Good luck with your revision. And remember, the more you practice writing under timed conditions, the more confident you'll feel on exam day. Take care, and I'll see you in the next episode.